Mesechtes Bava Basra, Daf Pei, the top of Daf Pei Amud Aleph at the new Mishnah, and our Mishnah will continue to discuss those dinim that are relevant to someone that sells an item to his friend and he sells it stama, and what is included and what is not included. Before we continue with the new Mishnah, let us point out to Metzias as to how doves procreate. And Rashbam explains that for 11 months of the year, doves have two children during each month, and during each month from Nisan through Shvat, they have two birds during each month, and then they skip the month of Adar. And once they have these two birds, then those two birds are actually mates and they will have additional children once they're already 2 months old. And from that point forward, the female will also lay two eggs every single month, and these eggs will produce a male and female 11 months out of 12 months of the year as well. And Rashbam also points out that the metzias is that a dove will stay in its nest and will stay in its birdhouse as long as it has accompaniment and it has to have its mate. And in order for the female not to run away and not to fly away from its nest, it must have at least two of its children that stay together with it. And our mission now teaches us that if Reuven sells the rights to any piris of a birdhouse to his friend Shimon, and he sells it stama, and he doesn't specify exactly how much he's selling, so the din is that Shimon would not be able to keep all of the birds that are born to his mother, and the first set of birds that born to the mother, he has to leave in the birdhouse, as Lemaisa, Reuven didn't sell the rights to Shimon to the actual birdhouse and to the mother, and the only thing he sold him was the right to the children, and therefore certainly Reuven left for himself and retained for himself the right to the first two children, as otherwise the mother would fly away and go to another dovecote. And as Rashbam states, v'hu sheifchei loy macha, that Reuven didn't sell the actual birdhouse to Shimon, hilkach mistama gam breich rishayna shal shana zu ikei b'mashevech to zuhi kiyam hashevech, as this is the way to be mekayim the birdhouse, and therefore certainly Reuven retained the rights to bird A and to bird B, and he didn't sell that to the buyer. And Rashbam points out that, as the Gemara will explain, that just like Reuven doesn't sell bird A and bird B to Shimon because he leaves them to accompany the mother, so Reuven also doesn't sell the first two birds that that child has as well. And for example, if the mother bird gave birth to a female and that female had two children, then the first two children still belong to Reuven. And as the Gemara explains, because if you don't leave those two children to stay in the nest and accompany bird A, then bird A will fly away, and once bird A flies away, then the mother will also fly away, and once again Reuven won't have a birdhouse, and certainly he didn't sell that right to Shimon. However, of course, any other children that bird A has would belong to Shimon and not to Reuven, as Reuven only retained for himself the rights to those birds that will actually keep the kiyum of the shevich going and to make sure that this birdhouse is not abandoned. Once again, before we continue with the next case of the Mishnah, which will discuss beehives, let us discuss the metzias of a beehive. And Rashbam explains that every 9 or 10 days during the summer months, a beehive is able to produce an additional swarm of bees. This swarm of bees will fly out of the beehive, will go to another branch on another tree, and they will produce another beehive. And this happens every 9 or 10 days during the summer months. Rashbam explains that in Greece, in Yavon, this process actually repeated itself 7 or 8 times every single summer. However, Rashbam explains that Al Pi Rav, in his location, this only occurred 3 times every summer, and he tells us Vashlishi Gurua Makulan, and the third swarm of bees is the lowest quality of these bees, and the quality of each additional swarm actually diminishes. And as Rashbam states, the Achron Achron Gurua, and our Mishnah states Piris Kaveris Noitel Gimel Nechilim Masaris, that if Reuven sells to Shimon the rights to the Piris of a beehive, then he only means to sell him the new bees that are produced from this beehive. Reuven only sells to Shimon the first 3 swarms of bees. And as Rashbam explains, that since Achron Achron Grua, and after the third swarm, it becomes of such a low quality, therefore when Reuven sold to Shimon the rights to the bees, he only meant to sell him the first 3 swarms of bees and nothing further. And although the Mishnah states umisaris, and generally the word misaris comes from the Lashon of Siris, which means to castrate or to sterilize, however the Gemara will bring 2 different pshatim, and we will discuss this when we learn the Gemara. And once again, before we continue and discuss the dinim of honeycombs, so let's once again point out the metzias. Generally, a honey farmer wants to remove as many honeycombs out of the beehive as possible. However, certainly he'll leave 2 honeycombs in the beehive, because otherwise the bees that are living in the beehive will not have any honey and will not have what to survive on during the winter months. And you need to have at least 2 chalais tavash in order for the bees to maintain themselves and to live through the winter. And therefore, the Mishnah teaches us chalais tavash b'nich beis chalais, that if Reuven sells to Shimon all the honeycombs that are in his beehive, then since Reuven did not sell sell the actual beehive to Shimon. Therefore, certainly, Reuven wanted to retain for himself anything that is needed to maintain the beehive. And since in order for the bees to survive and the beehive to be able to be viable for the next season, so certainly Reuven retained for himself two honeycombs in order for the bees to have what to survive on during the winter. As Rashbam explains, Chalos Tuvash HaKaveres, La'ach HaShos appears that after the bees produce their offspring and produce these swarms of bees, V'yotzu HaNechilim, and the swarms of bees left the beehive, Lo'iches HaDvash, then the honey farmer comes and takes the honey, V'u Asri Chalos Chalos, and honey is produced as honeycombs, V'yesh Ba'yuz Chalos Ayesum Zebet Sadzeh, M'shayv HaDvash Ma'ur V'yachad, the bees produce these honeycombs in rows of 10 or 20 honeycombs together, and the honeycombs are made out of wax and honey. So certainly he wants to keep this beehive and he wants to make sure it's viable for next season. As we explained, finally the Gemara teaches us, if Reuven sells to Shimon his olive tree in order to cut it down for the wood, in order for Shimon to be able to use the wood, but he didn't sell him the actual tree, and once again, certainly Reuven didn't sell the actual tree, and therefore Reuven must retain enough of this tree that it could regenerate, and the only way for an olive tree to regenerate is only if you leave it at least two branches, and therefore although Shimon could cut down the entire olive tree, but he has to leave at least two branches, as otherwise it will not regenerate. And Rashbam defines the word greifius as enoughim, the chayz of a sameach, kedarmin b'reishis rabbah, that the pasuk says b'degei noyach, that he went out of the teva v'yita kerem, and noyach planted a vineyard, and the medrash is bothered that l'chayra, the entire world was destroyed, and therefore lo'hoi lo'lita lo'yicho echav lo'greifis achas, that l'chayra, where did noyach have these branches, or mehechad hoylai, and the medrash answers, amrab abba b'kana, hichlis imay zmeris l'natiyas, v'yichur l'teinim v'greifis l'zesim, and therefore we see that l'ashen greifis refers to olive tree branches. The Gemara begins and discusses the first case of our Mishnah, as the Mishnah stated, ha'lekech perishevich mechaveri, mafriach b'rech rishayna, Reuven retains the right to the first two birds, the male and female, that is hatched from the mother. Gemara asks, v'tanya, but we learned to the b'raisa, b'rech rishayna u'shniya, and as Rashbam points out, that right now the Gemara's havmin is, that this is going back on the original mother, although in our Mishnah we stated that Reuven will retain the first two birds, however the b'raisa states that Reuven will actually retain the first four birds, and he will retain the rights to the first 2 months of the produce of the mother, and therefore he'll retain the rights to those birds that are hatched in Nisan and in Iyar. And the Gemara answers, Amar Rav Kahana le'kasha, hala ha'le'ima. Rav Kahana explains there is no stereo between our Mishnah and our Braisa, as the Braisa is referring to those children that are born to the actual child of the mother. And as we explained when we learned our Mishnah, that just like the mother needs the accompaniment of her children, and therefore we leave her bird A and bird B, so too bird A needs an accompaniment of its two children, and therefore the first two birds that bird A has will belong to Reuven as well. Therefore, for example, if Reuven sells to Shimon the rights to the mother, as we already explained, when the mother has two children in Nisan, those two birds will belong to Reuven, and Reuven will retain the rights to those two birds that we already call bird A and bird B. Then any further birds that the mother bird has after that point, and for example, all the rest of the birds that are produced from this mother, from Chodesh Iyar and through Chodesh Shvat, would belong to Shimon. However, as Rashbam previously explained, that bird A, which is the child of the mother, will actually start producing its own birds after 2 months of its birth. And the first two birds that it produces in Chodesh Tammuz, that will actually belong to Reuven as well, and Shimon will not have rights to those birds. All the rest of the birds that bird A produces after that month will belong to Shimon. Therefore, Rav Kahana explains that when the Braisa stated that Brecha Rishenu Shnia belong to Reuven, Brecha Shnia refers to the first two birds that bird A produces after it's already 2 months old. And as we explained, the reason why Reuven will be entitled to those two birds as well, as otherwise bird A will fly away, and once bird A flies away, then its mother will also fly away. That occurs, then the birdhouse will be abandoned, and certainly Reuven did not sell the rights to the birdhouse to Shimon. He only sold him the rights to the produce of the birdhouse. And Rav Kahana continues to explain that when our Mishnah stated Halakeh Perishevich Mechaveri Mafriach Brech Rishena, the Braisa also mentioned Brech Rishena, that is referring to the first two birds that are born to the mother, and referring to bird A and bird B, as that certainly belongs to Reuven, because otherwise the mother will fly away. And let's see the Rashbam Dima Maschav Holy Ima Hai Brech Rishena Tani Masis and Uwe Braisa Leima Kama Shemeshayin Lalaim Brech Rishena Mena Lias Lilatzavta, to be as an accompaniment, or Bar Braisa Lashmenu, the Mahi Brech Rishena Shalim Mishayin Gamim Menabrech Rishayna, and the Bryce is coming to teach us a new din that Reuven also retains the first two birds that bird A produces, Umaydul Pirish Masisim Pirish Bebraisa, and what the Mishnah did not explicitly state, the Bryce tells us and explains, Rashbam is bothered Dalachira, if they were talking about the first two birds that is produced by bird A, so why do we call it Brech Shnia? Rashbam explains, Behind the Kari Lapir's Brech Rishayna Shnia, Mishum the Shniim Hemli Moy Shal Iman, that is because it is second generation from the original mother, the Bnei Banim Shniim Hemli Zakenim, and as we know that the second generation is Bnei Banim, and therefore it's called Brech Shnia. The Gemara continues and is bothered that Maishna Ima, the Mitztafta Abata Vazuga de Shafkinla, why is it that the original mother will not fly away and will be happy and be accompanied by her mate as well as her two children? And if so, Ihinami Titzafta Aima Vazuga de Shafkinla, so Lachir, why do we have to leave two additional birds in order to satisfy bird A and make sure that she doesn't fly away? If Lachira, bird A already has the accompaniment of her mate, bird B, and she also has the accompaniment of her mother and her mate, and all the birds in this nest have another three birds that are accompanying it, and why should Reuven be entitled to more birds, and why would bird A want to fly away? And the Gemara teaches us, Ima bata mitztafta, bata ima loy mitztafta, that a mother receives accompaniment from her own children. As Rashbam states, Shirachmeh eim alabas, as a mother has a special connection with her daughter, Avabata dahainu brech rishayna loy mitztafta ima levad, vaben zuga, elim kein yesh labanim. However, bird A doesn't have the same connection to its mother and to its mother's mate, and the only way that it will stay in the nest is only if it has its own children there as well. And Rashbam points out that really the Gemara didn't have to mention anything about the mother's mate. However, Rashbam explains, why does the mother even need the accompaniment of her children if Lemaisa she has the accompaniment of her mate? And therefore, our Mishnah teaches us the only way that a bird will remain in the nest is if they have both categories and they have to have their own mate as well as their own child. It's important to note that Rashbam feels that even though the Braisa explains that our Mishnah is teaching us that not only does Reuven retain the rights for the first two birds, bird A and bird B, that were produced by the mother, but Reuven also retains the rights to the first two birds that are produced by bird A, and let's call them bird C and bird D. However, this concept doesn't continue to the next generation, and all the future birds that are produced by bird C will belong to Shimon, and Reuven will not have a right to any of the birds that are produced by bird C. And even though the Gemara stated, Bata imalei mitztafta, and Lachayu, just like we stated that this svara pertains to bird A, as bird A would fly away if not for the fact that we leave its own two children, and we leave it its accompaniment of its children, we don't look at accompaniment of its mother, Lachayu, the same svara should apply to bird C, and Lachayu, Reuven should retain the rights to the first two birds that are produced by bird C, as Lachayu, bird C won't either get any accompaniment from its mother, and will only get accompaniment from its children. However, Rashbam states that the Brice is actually Dafka, and the Brice states Breker Rishayna Vishniya, and specifically is telling us that not Shlishis, even the first group that is produced by bird C, will be included in the sale, and Shim would have a right to those birds. And Rashbam explains that Kivin de Ikal Gimel Chaburis, once we have the original mother and its mate, and we have bird A and bird B, and now we have bird C and bird D, then we have three pairs, Afilu B'nei Breker Rishayna Le'aki, even bird C and bird D will not fly away, even if we don't leave their own children, because they will be mitztafti ya'imam va'imimam, they will have a commitment from their mother as well as from their grandmother. Therefore, v'im l'nich l'hambonim mitztafti ba'dayu, da'hashta im mitztafti ba'ta brech rishayno, hu brech rishayno mitztafti nami ba'ta brech rishniyo lehem, shi rishayno lo, v'hi mitztafti imam va'imimam, da'havlu chaburas tuva, as there are so many chaburas, and therefore we don't have to have additional children in the nest. And Rashba menzov, kei niris be'inai shita shmuazu, v'yeshel shayin srabais v'yef shali ashvam. And as we see that instead of being gurus in our Gemara, Amrav Kahana Lekasha Hala Halima, the top place is gurus Habiima Havibata. That is also the gears of Rabbeinu Gershom, and because they are gurus differently in our Gemara, they learn our Gemara differently than the Rashbam Ayin Shom. The Gemara continues and quotes from the next case of the Mishnah, Peres Kaveres Noitel Gimel Nechilim Umesaris, that if Reuven sells to Shimon the rights to the offspring and the new bees that are produced by his beehive, then Shimon will have a right to the first three swarms of bees. And as we explained, that even though bees could produce many swarms of bees during the summer, however, since the quality of every swarm of bees gets diminished and it becomes weaker than the previous swarm of bees, therefore the standard is to sell three swarms of bees, and afterward the bee farmer wants to make sure that his bees are focused on producing honey and not on producing more bees. And the Mishnah stated Umisaris, and the pashas of the Lashon of Siris is a Lashon of sterilizing a bee and making sure that it doesn't actually have any more bees. The Gemara now begins and asks, B'ma Misason, and as Rashbam points out, the Lashon Siris Zachris Mashma, Pshuta Shal Mishnah, that the pashas of the Mishnah is that you're actually going to sterilize the bees and make sure that they don't have children, and therefore the Gemara asks, in what way are you actually sterilizing the bees? And certainly you don't want these bees to become sterile, that they won't be able to produce future bees, and they won't be able to produce bees next year. As certainly there's a reason why you want to keep these bees around for the next season. Therefore, the Gemara feels that the Lashon Siris of the Mishnah can't really be referring to standard sterilization. And Ayin Rabbeinu Geshem, who seems to learn that the Gemara's question is that there's a standard Issa of Siris in the Torah, and therefore how could it be that the Mishnah would tell us, Neitel Gimel Chilim Umisaris, how could it be that you'd be able to sterilize these bees? The Gemara continues, Am Rabbi Yehuda Mishmuel, Rabbi Yehuda says the name of Shmuel, Bechadol, that you actually misaris these bees by giving them mustard seeds to eat. And the Gemara explains, Amim Baravim, Mishmed Rabbi Yisrael Bechlina, that they explain in the West, and they explain in Eretzol, the name of Rabbi Yisrael Bechlina, Lo Yichadu Misasan, El Metech Shepin Chad, Chayyus Va'ichle, says Tufshonon, mustard seeds actually do not sterilize bees, and this doesn't change the physical nature of the bee. However, the Mishnah is using the term Siris in order to explain to us that you cause the bees not to have children since you give them mustard seeds, and therefore their mouths become very bitter and it becomes very sharp. Therefore, the bees will go and eat their own honey, and as Rashbam explains, and because they will now be satiated, so therefore they will be bottled from Perivivya, then they will be focused once again on producing honey. And according to this Pshat of the Gemara, the term Misaris in our Mishnah is a form of Siris and is a form of sterilization, as making sure that the bees actually focus on producing honey and no longer focus on Perivivya. Now that we saw this Pshat, let us go back to the Rashbam and the Mishnah, three lines from where it gets wide, and the Rashbam states, Umisaris claiming Mekan Ve'ilich Yigum Lehamamecha Sheistarsu Me'alein V'leyasu Eipiris Kadesh Yutru Devasuk and Lasses Vash V'chol's Man Sheisen Vash Enesim Vodes Vad Vash El Mechu, and the honey belongs to the seller Shekin Derech HaKavaris La'ach Sheyotzu Kol Nechilim Oysed Vash, as this is the standard of a beehive, that after all the swarms of bees go out, then the bees go and produce honey. V'yesh Harkel Eisem V'leichan Ad Vash, and there's some beekeepers that kill the bees and they take the honey. V'yesh Merikan Eisem L'Kavaris Rekonis, and some take the bees and they move them to another beehive, and then they take the honey. We learned the sugya based on Rashbam, Ayin Rabbeinu Geshem, who learns the din of Peris Kavaris, similar to the way we learn Peris Shevech. Instead of learning that the first three swarms actually belongs to the buyer, he learns that the first three swarms of bees actually belongs to the seller and belongs to Reuven. They are needed in order to accompany the original bees, Ayin Shem. Gemara now continues with the second pshat in the term Misares, as Rabbi Yechon states, the Lashon Misares is not referring to standard sterilization of the male. Rabbi Yechon learns that the Lashon Misares, similar to Lashon in Masechtas Megillah in the Yerushalmi, that instead of saying Karaserigin as we have in our Mishnayos, the Yerushalmi has a Gersa of Karaserisin that they read in Megillah by skipping around the Megillah, and for example, doing Perak Aleph and then Perak Himmel and then Perak Hay. Similarly, Zok Rabbi Yechon, Neitah Shleishon Achilim Besiris, the Mishnah is teaching us that although Reuven sold the swarms of bees to Shimon, he only sold them the first, third, and fifth swarm of bees, but the second, fourth, and sixth swarm of bees that come out of the beehive would belong to Reuven, and then any additional swarms of bees that are developed after that would all belong to Shimon. As Rashbam explains, that the Lekeach takes three swarms of bees, Dilug, Rishon, Shlishi, V'Chamishi, V'Amecha Yitol Hashar, and the seller retains everything else, Sheyil Shneim, V'Atayvim, V'Nachushim, and this way both the buyer and the seller have some bees of better quality and some bees of an inferior quality, Shekin Derech Stam, Mechri Kvaris, as this is the standard of someone that sells bees of a beehive. And the Gemara continues, and we'll bring a Braisa, and we will see that the second Bader Braisa proves that Rabbi Yechon's Pshat and Misaris is actually the Pshat in the Mishnah. However, as we will see, the Braisa will actually bring down a din that is not like Rabbi Yechon, as Masisa Tana, as we learned to the Braisa, Neutel Gimel Chilim Bezach Hazer, that when Reuven sells to Shimon the right to the Pirus of his beehive, then Shimon has a right to the first three swarms of bees that are produced from the beehive. However, Mikan Ve'ilich, Neutel Achas Mneich Achas, but after Shimon already received the first three swarms of bees, then Reuven and Shimon will share the rest of the swarms of bees, and Reuven will get the fourth swarm of bees, Shimon will get the fifth, and Reuven will get the sixth swarm of bees, etc. And as Rashbam points out, that this is actually the Psak, as this is the Mashmois of the Mishnah, as the Mishnah stated, Piris Kavaris, Neutel Gimel Nechilim, which is Mashma that Shimon receives the first three swarms of bees, and only afterwards does the Mishnah state, Umisaris, and after that point, Reuven and Shimon will actually split the swarms of bees, and each one of them will take every other swarm swarm of bees, and they alternate turns between each other. Before we continue, let's just reference back to the Mishnah Daf Chaf Hei Amud Aleph in Perek Lo Yachba, where we previously mentioned bees and mustard seeds, as the Mishnah stated, Machikin Sachadol Min Advarim, Rabbi Yesi Mata Bechadol Ayin Shom. Agamor now continues and quotes from the third case of the Mishnah, as the Mishnah stated, Chal Tavash Menich Beis Chalais, that if Reuven sells the rights to the honeycombs of his beehive, then Shimon could take all of the honeycombs that are in the beehive. However, Reuven retains the rights to the two outer honeycombs, and Shimon has to leave that for Reuven, as that is the food that the bees will eat during the winter. And now that the Mishnah mentions something about honeycombs, so the Gemara will now define the status of a honeycomb and the status of a honey while it's in a beehive as it pertains to Tuma V'Taira. And Rav Kana states, Dvash B'Kavaris, Eini Yotzim Dei Meichel Olam, honey that's in a beehive is always considered a Dva Meichel, therefore it could be Mekabel Tuma, even B'Kolshu, it would only transmit Tuma if it's the size of a Beya. And Rashbam explains that the Chiddush is that even though bees eat the honey that's in their beehive, however, L'maisa, honey that's in a beehive is still considered a Meichel. And Rashbam states that the only way it loses its status as a food product, Ad Sheikso B'Ferish L'Meichel Verm, and it's only if Reuven says that these honeycombs are reserved for the bees that reside in this beehive. And for example, like we just stated on Mishnah, that the reason why you leave Beis Chalais is because a beekeeper will always keep two honeycombs for the bees to have food during the winter. Therefore, certainly in a case where Reuven sold all of his honeycombs to Shimon and he retained two honeycombs, those two honeycombs would certainly not be considered a Michael and would not be Makabel Tumma and would not transmit Tumma. Rashbam continues with the second shot, Inami Hachikama, Dafka Bekavarasa have a Eichel, Dafka when the honey is in the beehive, then it's considered a Michael, Avlam Zob Bekavarasa have a Mashka Mistama, Elam Kin Chishav Vachila, and once it flows out of the beehive, then even though the honey was not separated from the honeycomb yet, the honey is still considered a Mashka, unless your intent was to use it as is, and to use it as a honeycomb, and to use it as a food product. And as we know, that certainly Dvash at some point is considered a Mashka, because we know that the Zayin Mashkin, if they fall on Paris or on a food product, then the Mashur L'Kabel Tumma, and of course those are Yad Shach Adam, which stands for Yayin Dvash, Shemen Cholov Tal, Dam and Mayim, and Ayin Dvam Taisis, In Yetzim Dei Meichel Olam, as Taisis points out, this idea, as Tein L'Rid, M'sech Machshirin, Choshev Dvash, Bahati Zayin Mashkin, V'Oimiri, Dehainu Achash Hofer, Shemen HaShayva, Alba Kavurasa, Shu Ima Shayva, Yesh Lov Teres Eichel, V'Loi Teres Mashka. And let's also see the second Tabam Taisis, Amid, Dvash Bekavurasa, In Yetzim Dei Meichel Olam, Perisha Kuntris, Achi Yuxol, and Meichel Dvarim Beferish, and Taisis states, V'Ein Nir L'Rid, Ein L'Chadov, Roy L'Achila, Shiyel Beishtum Dova, Achi Yuposim Me'achilas Kelev, that certainly once something is considered Meichel, then by a person's intent alone, he can't change its status, and the only way that it loses its status as an Eichel is only if it's Nifso Machilas Kelev, Ayin Shom. And our Gemara now continues that Rav Kana just stated, Dvash Bekaveris, Eini Yetzim Dei Meichel Olam, and the Gemara states, Alma Kasava, Loi Boi Machshova. So we see that Rav Kana's sheet is that Dvash automatically has a din of an Eichel, and it doesn't need any intent. The Gemara now asks a question of Rav Kana from a Braisa, as Mesvei, Dvash Bekaveris, Eini Loi Eichel Volei Mashka. The Braisa states that honey that's in a beehive does not have the status of a food product or as a drink. Therefore, as Rashbam states, that it's not going to be makabel tuma at all. The Gemara brings two terutim. Number one, Amar Baya leitzricha leisin shlichalis. And in the Chanami, this price is specifically referring to those two honeycombs that are going to remain in the beehive for the entire winter in order for the bees to have food. And since they're reserved for the beehive, therefore they don't have a din of a Michael or a Mashka. Rashbam states, Umefurish b'tisefta shein chalas chitzenis b'perish rach. It's possible that the Rashbam waited to this point to mention that we're talking about the chalas chitzenis, and he didn't mention this previously, as Rashbam is teaching us that since the standard was to keep the outer chalais as the honeycombs that will remain in the beehive during the winter, therefore, even if you didn't specify that these two chalais are the ones I'm going to leave here during the winter, and even if there are many other chalais that are still in the beehive, those two chalais will still not be considered a meichel or considered a mashka, and therefore they would not be makabel tuma. Gemara continues, Rav Amar, however, Rav doesn't like Abaye's teretz, as Rav feels that since the Braisa stated stama, Dvash Bekaveris, Eina Le'eichel Vole Mashka, it seems to referring to all the honey that's in the beehive, and not just referring to the two outer honeycombs. As Rashbam states, Hilkach Nichle L'Rav Tfei L'uk Miki Yechida, and even though Rav will ultimately say, this Braisa is going L'fi Rabbi Elazar, which is a Das Yachid, but he'd rather say that, and say that the Braisa is talking about all the honey that's in the beehive. As Rashbam states, Meshum Nislam Dvash L'mashm L'Eshtei Chalis El Kol Dvash El Kaveris, as we explained, and Rav explains, Rabbi Elazar he, that this Braisa is going according to the Shita Rabbi Elazar, and we continue at our Peil and Beis, the Tanas, as we learned in the Mishnah Masechta Shviyas, and we already saw and explained this Mishnah on Daf Samach Hei and Beis. is that kavaras devarim. Rabbi Leza im harei kakako because of the prizbol veinim kabels tuba b'mekaymo v'aroidim menam b'shabes chayiv chatos. Rabbi Leza holds that a beehive is considered like kako. Therefore, as Rashbam points out, the hilchah afilim chishav leal lo yavim meichel kabel tuma. And even if Reuven actually has intent regarding the honey that's in the beehive that he wants to use it as meichel, that would still not be considered a meichel. As certainly, if Reuven had intent regarding grain that's attached to the ground that he wants it to be mekabel tuma and he wants it to be considered a meichel, certainly that would not help as lemaisitz kaka. Therefore, the same din applies to honey that's in a beehive, and even if Reuven had intent that he wanted to be considered a meichel, it would still not be mekabel tuma. And similarly, when Hillel was misakin in prizbol, he was only misakin prizbol for those that have kaka, and if someone owns a beehive, that's considered kaka. Therefore, even if Reuven doesn't own any kaka and he only owns a beehive, he would still be able to write a prizbol. In addition, since it's considered like kaka, therefore it's not mekabel tuma while it's in the beehive. And if Reuven removes honey from a beehive on Shabbos, he'll be chayv v'chatos. Since a beehive is kaka, therefore by removing the honey from the beehive, he'll be oikad dov migedulai, and therefore he'll be chayv v'chatos. And as we learned on Daf Samach Vav Amud Aleph, that even if the beehive is not attached to the ground, the beehive is considered kaka, and if Reuven does so b'shogeg, he'll be chayv v'chatos. The Mishnah continues, v'chacham imim eina kaka, the chacham hold that a beehive is not considered like kaka, and therefore, as Rav Kana stated, dvash b'kaveris in yitzim de meichel ilam, as he's going l'fidah chachamim, the chacham also stated in kaisvim l'prizbol, and if Reuven only has a beehive, then he can't write a prizbol. Umekabels tuma b'mekayma, and as we previously explained, the chacham hold that the honey would be mekabel tuma, even though it's in the beehive, as Rav Kana stated. But certainly, if it's out of the beehive, it certainly would be considered either a meichel or mashka. And finally, by roidim menah b'shabes pata, l'maisa Rav explains that the brisa that stated dvash b'kaveris in loy oichav loy mashka is specifically going like a das yochid and specifically going like the sheet of Rabbi Leza. The Gemara continues, I'm Rabbi Leza. Rabbi Leza explained my time with Rabbi Leza. What is pshat that Rabbi Leza hold that even a beehive that's not attached to the ground and not secure to the ground is still considered kaka? He explained the chsiv that this is based on a pasuk in Shmuel Aleph b'negei Yonason, as the pasuk states v'yitpol oisa b'yaris dvash, and Yonason dipped his stick into a forest of honey and he ate the honey. Rabbi Leza explains v'chima inyan yar eitzel dvash, that what is the connection between a forest and honey? That this is coming to teach us, just like if someone takes a branch off a tree in a forest, that is, so the same applies to honey, and if someone removes honey from a beehive on Shabbos, he'll be chayiv chatos, as a beehive is considered and categorized as kaka, and therefore he's being oikad dover migdulai. And the Gemara continues, and we'll ask a question on Rava based on the way he explained the Braisa in order to make sure that the Braisa works out, lefita shita Rav Kana. And Rav explained that the price is going according to Rabbi Leza, and Rav Kana is going like Rabbanon. The price states that honey that flows from a beehive is not categorized as a food product or as a drink, and therefore it won't be makabel tuma. The Gemara explains bishlam labaya nicha, that according to Abaya that stated that the price is specifically talking about those two honeycombs that are left in the beehive for the bees. So this price is also only talking about those two honeycombs that are left in the beehive, and even though the honey is now flowing outside of the beehive, but ultimately since these two honeycombs were left for the bees, therefore it was huksel l'dvayim. The only way that it'll be mekabel tuma is only if Reuven decides that he now wants to use it either as a food product or as a drink. However, the Gemara is al Rava kasha, but according to Rava that explained that the previous brisa is talking about all of the honey that's in the beehive, and even so it's not mekabel tuma because since it's in a beehive, therefore it's considered kaka. But l'chayr, once it flows out of the beehive, then automatically it should no longer be considered kaka, and automatically it should be considered a meichel or mashka, and it should be mekabel tuma. And why does the Braisa state that even though it flowed out of the beehive, the honey will still not be mekabel tuma? And the Gemara continues and answers, Amar Zvid Kagoyin Shizov al Gabi Klimois, this Braisa is specifically talking about a case that the honey that is flowing out of the beehive falls directly onto a disgusting kli. Therefore, since while it was in the beehive, it was considered kaka, and therefore certainly at that point it was not mekabel tuma, and at this point that's falling onto a disgusting kli, therefore generally some would not want to eat this honey. So that's why the Braisa states that this honey would not be considered a meichel or mashka unless Reuven actually has kavana and has intent that it will actually use this honey. And Rashbam points out that lefi Rava, this Braisa is also dafki golem lefi Rabbi Leza, as lefi Chachamim, since honey that's in a beehive is already considered a eichel, therefore even if it would fall onto a kli mois, that would not remove its status as a meichel, and it would still be mekabel tuma unless it would be nifsel me'achilas kelev. Gemara continues with the similar teretz, Rabbi Acha Be'Yakov, Ma'akagun Shizov, Al Gabi Kash. kashkashin that we're talking about a case where honey actually flowed out of a beehive and it fell onto a bunch of splinters. And since the honey gets stuck to these splinters, so it's impossible to remove every single splinter, and therefore certainly no one will eat this honey. And that's why Lefi Rabbi Elazar, it doesn't get a Shem Eichel. However, the Rashbam explains that according to this teretz, aval agabi kli mois choshev eichel, but it would only have fallen onto a disgusting kli, and even Rabbi Elazar would agree that it would have a din of a eichel, as lemaisa it's very easy to remove the honey off the kli mois, and people would still use it, and therefore, even without the intent of Ruvain, the honey would still be mekabel tuma. The Gemara continues, and once again, we'll ask a question on Rava. Meisbe, we learned to the Braisa, Dvash per kvrosa ina le eichel v'le mashka, that Dvash that is in a honeycomb is not categorized as a food product or as a mashka. Chishav v'le achila metamatumis eichlon, le mashka metamatumis mashkin, but if you had intent that you will use it for achila, then it will be metamatumis eichlon, and if your intent was to use it as a mashka, then it will be metamatumis mashkin. And once again, the Gemara states, Bishleim la abaye nicha, according to Abaye, we can understand the Braisa, as the first part of Braisa tells us, Dvash per kvrosa ina le eichel v'le mashka, and we're talking about those two specific chalais that are left in the beehive, and therefore it's not considered eichel or mashka. But certainly, if Reuven actually has intent that he will use it, then certainly it's not going to be designated any longer for the beehive and for the bees, and therefore it will now be a food product and it'll be a regular mashka, just like the rest of the honey that's in the beehive. However, the Gemara is al Rav Kasha, but according to Rav that explained that when the Braisa states Dvash per kvrosa ina le eichel v'le mashka, that is specifically going like the sheet of Rabbi Elazar, the reason why it's not mekabel tuma is because dvash is considered kaka, so l'chayra, how could it be that if Reuven has intent that he wants it to be an oichel or he wants it to be a mashka, that you'll be able to change the status as ultimately it's still considered attached to the ground, and therefore certainly even if Reuven intends to use it as a meichel or mashka, it still would not be mekabel tuma. The Gemara states, Rav will respond, Taretz ve'ema hachi, that in a chenami we have to change the braisa, as the braisa really should state, chishv l'achila ina metam tumas eichlin, that even if Reuven has intent that he wants to use it as a meichel, it would not be metamatumis eichlin, because ultimately honey is considered like kaka, and similarly lemashkin ain't metamatumis mashkin, and even if Reuven intends that this honey should be like a mashka, but since it's still in the beehive, therefore it's considered like kaka, and therefore certainly it's not mekabel tuma. And although we explained the Gemara as if Rava was being magia to Braisa, but let us see the top tesis on that payment base, Taretz ve'ima hochi, ain't magia Braisa, that we're not actually being magia to Braisa, el hochi kama, and this is the explanation of Braisa, Dvash bekavrosa in le meichel v'le mashka, the ratio states that honey that's in a beehive is not considered a meichel mashka. In regard to what did we state that's not considered a meichel mashka, le'inyin zeh, shem chishav l'achila, shehim etam atumas eichlin, and shem chishav l'mashka, shehim etam atumas mashka, that even if you'll have kavana for achila, it will not be metam atumas eichlin, even if you'll intend to use it as a mashka, it will not be metam atumas mashkin. And the Gemara now ends off, Tani kavas Rav Kana, that we have a braisa that's exactly like Rav Kana, dvash bekavrosa metam atumas eichlin, shlem machshava, that honey, even while it's still in its beehive, will be metam atumas eichlin, and even if Reuven did not specifically have intent that he will use it as a meichel. Gemara continues and quotes from the last case of the Mishnah, Zeisen Lokutz Menich Shtei Greifius, if Reuven sells to Shimon the rights to the wood of his olive tree, then Reuven is not selling his olive tree, and therefore certainly Reuven's intent is that he wants to make sure that the olive tree will still regenerate. Therefore, although Shimon could cut all the branches of the olive tree, but he has to leave at least two branches, as otherwise the olive tree will not regenerate. And the Gemara begins, Tana Rabbanan, we learned in the Braisa, although our Mishnah taught us the din b'negei an olive tree, and it didn't teach us the din b'negei other trees, the Braisa will now tell us the dinim b'negei other trees. As we learned in the Braisa, l'keich ilam echaveir lachutz, Shimon buys the rights from Reuven to cut off the branches and to use the lumber of Reuven's tree. Then Shimon could cut down the entire tree, but he has to leave at least one tefach of a stump, as otherwise it won't regenerate. And Rashbam points out that even though Shimon has to leave a part of the stump, but he doesn't have to leave any branches. And Besul Sasikma, if you have a virgin sycamore tree, which we previously defined as a sycamore tree that was not yet pruned and its branches were not yet cut, and therefore it's a very young tree, then the tree is still weak, and therefore the tree will not regenerate if you only leave a one tefach stump, and therefore you have to leave three tefachim. However, Sadan Sikma, when you have a sycamore tree which is already pruned and therefore it's thicker and it's stronger, so base tefachim, then Shim would only have to leave two tefachim, and once there's two tefachim, it will regenerate. And the Braisa continues, Bekanamu Gfanim, that if Reuven sells the rights to the wood of reeds or of a vineyard, then Minapakaklamaila, Shimon can only cut from the lowest knot on the tree and above that, but Shimon can't cut anything below that knot, as if he does so, then it won't regenerate. However, the Braisa states, but the Kalvarazim, Chayfu Misharish, if Shimon bought the rights to a palm tree or to a cedar tree, then Chayfu Misharish, Reish, then Shimon could actually dig up the entire tree and he doesn't have to leave any stump at all. Lefish ain gizamachlev, as a palm tree and a cedar tree can never regenerate, and therefore certainly Reuven meant to sell Shimon the entire tree. And the Gemara continues that the Brisa just stated that Basul Sasikma Gilmo Tvachim, that the only way that Basul Sasikma will regenerate is only if you leave it a stump that's 3 Tvachim high. And the Gemara asks, so Basul Sasikma Gilmo Tvachim Inan, do you really need 3 Tvachim? But Lachari, even with less than that, it should still regenerate. Vermini, I'll ask you a kasha from the following Brisa, as the Brisa Mesech the Shvia states, and Kaisim Basul Sasikma Beshvias, Mepreshi Avoida, one is not allowed to cut Basul Sasikma during Shemitah because it's considered an Avoida that is beneficial to the Sikmo tree. However, Rabbi Huda says that if Reuven wants some of the wood from his tree during Shemitah, then Kedakri Asa, then certainly it's Asa to cut the tree in its normal way, as that will be beneficial. But El Magbir, you Tvachim Vekaitzitz, but you have a choice, and either you could cut it 10 Tvachim off the ground, and that will not be beneficial to it, and that will be detrimental to it. Or an alternative, you could cut the tree level with the ground, and completely cut the tree all the way down to ground level, and that is detrimental to the tree. But it's muchach that if you would actually cut it somewhere between ground level and 10 tefachim, that would actually be beneficial to the actual tree. Therefore, l'chayra, why is it that Shimon has to leave 3 tefachim when he buys the rights to a besula sasikma, if l'chayra he should be able to cut it almost all the way down to ground level? And as the Gemara explains this question, me'imar to the kashi ha'idich malila, but it's mashmar that the only thing that's detrimental to the sikma tree is only if you cut it by the ground level. However, if you cut it anywhere between ground level and 10 tefachim, then it's not going to be bad for the tree, and it will actually be beneficial to the tree, and that's why you can't cut it on Shemitah. And the Gemara answers, Abaye explains that there are actually 3 different shiurim b'negei a tree as to what's beneficial and what's detrimental to the tree. Gimel tefachim ma'ila, as from 3 tefachim and upwards, certainly it's beneficial for the tree, and certainly it will regenerate. Therefore, if Shimon is buying a tree from Reuven, then he has to leave at least 3 tefachim, as at that point it will definitely regenerate. And certainly b'negei a Shemitah, if you're cutting the tree from 3 tefachim to 10 tefachim, that will be asa, as certainly that's beneficial for the tree. And certainly if you go to the other extreme, you completely cut down the sycamore tree and you cut it down to ground level, then certainly that's going to be detrimental to the tree. Number one, certainly it's mutter to do so on Shemitah. And number two, certainly at that level, the tree will not regenerate. From the point of ground level up until 3 tefachim, so it's not detrimental necessarily to the tree, but it's also not beneficial to the tree. Therefore, that's the chil between our Mishnah and the Mishnah Masechta Shvias, as Gabi Shvias Avdin Midi Devadi Kashula B'negei Shemitah, the only way they have a right to cut a tree is only if the act that you're doing will certainly be detrimental to the tree. And therefore, if Reuven wants to cut down this tree during Shemitah, he has to make sure to cut it at ground level, as certainly that will be detrimental to the tree. However, Gabi Mekachamemka Avdin Midi Devadi Mayula B'negei Mekachamemka, so certainly the seller did not want to sell this tree if he's uncertain if it will regenerate or not. Therefore, certainly, Shimon only has the right to cut the tree from 3 tefachim or above, and he has to leave 3 tefachim of the stump, as otherwise it won't certainly regenerate. Certainly, Reuven retained this right for himself, and he didn't sell this to Shimon. And Rashbam explains, "Mipreshi avoda sheyigad l'yosa that will grow more v'ksiv v'chavam chalei sizma." And when the Gemara stated, "Lemikshi kashi zok Rashbam kol kach," that is not so detrimental to it. "V'lo yelui mali el misafkalon mishum de zimnin kashi v'zimnin mali." And Rashbam explains the chiluk between Shemitah Mekach Chamemka is because Shemitah is Issa Deraisa, therefore Suffolk Issa Deraisa is L'chumra. Avagav Mekach Chamemka Das HaMeich L'Shayil Atzmoi Kedei Mechias Ha'ilon Vaday, in order to make sure that his tree certainly survives and regenerates. Gemara continues to discuss the Braisa. The Braisa stated by the Kolam V'Rozim, by palm trees and by cedar trees, Choyfu Misharish, then the buyer has a right to completely uproot the tree, and Lefi She'in Gizem Machlef, as it won't regenerate. The Gemara is, for areas in Gizem Machlef, are you telling me that cedar tree doesn't regenerate? What does the pasuk mean in Tehillim when it states tzaddik katom yifrach, that tzaddik will flourish like a palm tree, ke'erez balvon yiska, like a cedar in Lebanon, it will flourish? And Rav Chiya Bar Lulayni is bothered him, nema tama lama nema erez, that if the pasuk compares a tzaddik to a date tree, so why does it also compare to a cedar tree? Nema erez lama nema tama, and what are the different characteristics of these trees that the pasuk is trying to point out that is similar to a tzaddik? And he explains, ilo nema erez lama nema tama, that if the pasuk would only compare a tzaddik to a cedar tree and not to a date tree, ha'yisi ayme ma'er is inay superius, that just like a cedar tree doesn't make pears, av tzaddik inay superius, he will not produce fruits. And as Rashbam explains, that you would think that a tzaddik actually has pears, ba'ilam hazeh, and he doesn't have schar lo'ilam abah. And Rashbam continues, inami she'im machilah is supreme alav, that he won't receive the pre for all the work that he put in, and therefore the Gemara states l'kach nematama, and as Rashbam states k'dechsiv nami kurachrina, and as the pasuk in Yeshayah states imru tzadiki toiv kipri malei mechelu, and he continues v'im nematama, and if the pasuk would only compare a tzadik to a palm tree v'lo nema eres, and it didn't compare a tzadik to a cedar tree, then I would say matama in gizem machlif av tzadik in gizem machlif, that just like a palm tree doesn't regenerate, the tzadik also doesn't regenerate. Once again, Rashbam brings two pshatim, either in mes shloyol ben kamaisai inami im yipol ayokum, that if a tzadik falls, then he won't be able to regain his strength and get back to its original position, and lekach nemeres, and therefore the pasuk also compares a tzadik to a cedar tree that does regenerate, and as Rashbam states kidchsev kishavi yipol tzadik v'kam, that a tzadik can regenerate and a tzadik could fall and yet lift himself up and do tshuva. Lemaisa, the brisa stated that an error is ein gizem machlif. We now see from Rabbi Balu Laini that a tzaddik is compared to an erez because it does regenerate. The Gemara explains that halacha ma'iskinim b'sham min erezim, that Rabbi Balu Laini is referring to, is actually a type of cedar tree that does regenerate. How do we know that there are various types of cedar trees? Kid Rav Barafuna, the Rav Barafuna, Amri Be Rav, that we learned in Yeshiva Rav, Yud Meini Erezim Hain, that there are 10 various types of cedar trees, and there are species of cedar trees that do regenerate. And Rav Barafuna continues, Shenemen, as the pasuk in Yeshayah, b'negei kibitz Golias continues, Etin b'midbar, that I will place in the desert, Erez Shita v'hadas v'eit shemen, which refers to four different species of cedar. And the pasuk continues, Osim barava b'roish tido usasho yachtov, and we mention another three species of cedar. The Gemara now goes through these seven species. Erez refers to an azar, a regular cedar tree. When the pasuk states Shita, it's referring to a ternaisa, which is a pine tree. Hadas is asa, a hadas refers to a myrtle, and eit shemen is a pasma. Eit shemen refers to a balsam tree. B'roish b'rasi, and b'roish refers to boxwood, tida shaga, and tida refers to a fir tree, usasher shavina, and ta'asher refers to shavina. And the Gemara asks that Rav Barav Huna just mentioned in the name of Rav that there are 10 different types of cedar trees, and then he brings a pasuk that only mentions 7, and the Gemara asks, hani zayin havi? The Gemara answers, ki asher avdimi amar, where avdimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Babel, he said, haisif aleim aleinim almeinim almeigim, the Rabbanan also has told us that there are another three types of trees that are also categorized as cedar trees, and they are aleinim almeigim almeigim, and the Gemara explains aleinim albeitni is referring to an elm tree. Rashbam brings down from the Targum in Pashas Vayishlach that states tachas Allah and it types as butmar, and almeinim is referred to as blutei, which are oak trees, and Rashbam states shetan glunz, that this tree has gall nuts. We continue on that pe alav manalav, almeigim is kasisa, and as Rashbam at the top of the Amud states kasisa ilan shagadol biyan v'yokar habe v'kayin coral, that this refers to coral which grows in the sea and is very valuable. Gemara continues, Ikidamri, another version as to the three trees that are abundant categorized as being part of the cedar family is Aroinim Armoinim Almoigim. The Gemara defines these trees. Aroinim refers to a tree called Arei. Armoinim refers to Dilbai, which are chestnut trees. Once again, Almoigim is coral, as we explained. Even though we've defined these trees, however, the Rashbam says, Kol Shemus Halalu Heim Hayabikim Bem, that all the names of these trees, the Chacham Wabikin in them, but we aren't necessarily Baki in exactly what these trees are. And let's see the bottom two tases on that Peyam Beis, and Taisa states, Ma Eres Ina Isaperius, in Taima Arma Perakamada Vizara, Ma Istrabo Perida Aza, and therefore we see that a cedar tree does appear, Vishlam, the Hassam Bishamin Erosim, Shais Imperius, that over there we're talking about those cedar trees that do bear fruits, Vahachabahi, Shaina Isaperius, and over here the Pasuk is actually comparing a tzaddik to that type of a cedar tree that does not bear Perius, and Taisa continues, Shita Tunisa, Taisa bothered, Vahadar and Perakamada Vizara, Tanisa in Laika, that the Tanisa tree doesn't have any roots. And our Gemara says that it's a cedar tree and certainly has roots. Lav hayin tanisa dahacha el min acher aval hayshu min erez yesh leika. But certainly the tree that's categorized as a cedar tree definitely has roots. Ayin and taisis, and we will stop over here.